Item number 11, please.
Item number 11 is from Corporation Counsel, providing an informational verbal report regarding the temporary restraining order against the Office of the Sheriff by Milwaukee County. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Good morning, Ms. Walker.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. Kimberly Walker, Corporation Counsel. Not certain how much information you want me to share at this juncture in open session, but essentially action was filed by Milwaukee County against the sheriff to temporarily restrain him from continuing to employ 27 deputy sheriffs that were to be laid off pursuant to the civil service rules and the collective bargaining agreement that was entered into.
Thank you, ma'am. Any questions? Mr. Grady, please to give us some parameters.
It was filed, and I don't remember the date offhand, and I wasn't here, unfortunately. I was on the town. There's no end of it from Ms. Walker. it's an unfortunate time, but when Ms. Walker left court, I was just going to fill in on what happened at court.
Right. So, went to court, and the judge at that time ruled that she believed a conflict of interest may have existed with respect to my office representing the sheriff in prior matters and then subsequently representing the county against the sheriff in the matter that was filed. And so she ordered that we retain outside counsel to go forward. I'm here today just to talk to you about the process. Substantively, I'm unable to talk about this case at all, and in fact, Mr. Grady and I would have to leave the room because there's been a shield, so to speak, put up in place so that representation by Milwaukee County is being managed by Michael Best Friedrich. We have the attorney Dan Vaccaro here to speak to any specificity with regard to the actual suit itself, but I'm happy to fill you in as to, you know, process how we got to that point.
Thank you. Supervisor Jersey.
Well, let's start with question number one, shall we? How did the Milwaukee County, file such a lawsuit?
Mr. Chairman, I would say that that is one of the issues that is still pending before the court, and so I don't know if that's something that is properly suited to be discussed in open session because that's one of the issues that the attorneys are arguing about now.
So this case is still pending?
That is correct.
I think it would be more appropriate for you to say the county executive filed lawsuit.
Okay, Mr. Chairman. Well, as the papers were filed on that date, it indicates Milwaukee County, but that is correct.
And I think the question before the court then, and the question that this board, I think, has raised, Supervisor Rice and I wrote a letter, Milwaukee County initiates lawsuits through the Judiciary Committee. So we now are, in effect, reacting to something in the courts that we've never had asked of this committee, that we've never given guidance for. And, in fact, it perhaps would be useful for the county executive's office to get some input from this county because, believe it or not, once in a while we have some interesting and informative things to add.
Mr. Chairman, I would say that the documents, the pleadings that were filed that indicate Milwaukee County were filed with the county exec's approval, and we specifically would say that 5917 gives him specific authority to enforce the statutes and ordinances and resolutions, i.e. the 2012 adopted budget is an adopted resolution, and so that's the, you know, that's the authority upon which I believe the county exec's office would say that this matter was filed.
Is it a session?
Supervisor Jerzyk and Mr. Grady, do you have a response?
Can I ask you if
this is a subject of briefing in court.
Okay.
I'd rather we not debate the merits of
in open session.
That issue in open session.
And I will not discuss the merits of the case, but I'd like to know how the decision was made. And since we are in court and there is no public record, I think those are appropriate questions in open session.
Mr. Chairman, what I would say is to reiterate what Ms. Walker said, is that the county board and the county exec adopted a budget that did not provide for these sheriff's positions.
Okay.
The county board and the county exec approved the collective bargaining agreement that did not provide for these positions. And the county executive, under his authority, statutory authority, is bound to administer the budget and enforce the laws of Milwaukee County, the ordinances and the laws of Milwaukee County. And as the complaint in this case says, it is our position, or it was our position as attorneys when we filed it, that the sheriff's actions were contrary to law. The budget, the collective bargaining agreement, the civil service rules, and Chapter 17 of the ordinances, and therefore needed to be stopped in order to enforce the county board's prior policy decisions and the county exec's prior policy decisions. There is an issue in court about that legal question, but that was our position on the law.
And you may be in an unfortunate position in court now because of the process in which you proceeded, but I would just like to ask this question. When you made that decision, was the chairman of the board communicated with?
Mr. Chairman, before going forward and filing the pleadings, I did have a conversation with the chairman of the board to talk about the action that would need to be taken if we went down the path that we've gone.
Did the chairman express agreement with the procedure you chose to take?
Mr. Chairman, the chairman of the board didn't express agreement or disagreement. It was an informal meeting with he and I just talking through process. So he didn't say go forward and he didn't say don't.
Thank you. Thank you.
Well, I think there's one more question that can be asked. I mean, is it of court record that Attorney Vaccaro is representing the county at this time?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, yes, it is.
Could you explain to the board how that decision was made and how Mr. Vaccaro was brought into this matter?
Mr. Chairman, the decision to retain outside counsel again was at the direction of the court. The specific firm, Michael Best and Friedrich, was chosen because of their expertise in this area. In fact, one of the other people from Michael Best had dealt with an issue of the sheriff's constitutional authority and had that case taken all the way to the Supreme Court. The specific attorney, Dan Vaccaro, was chosen by someone within the firm Michael Best.
Has the county entered into a contract with Michael Best for that representation?
Mr. Chairman, at this point we are, I believe, again because of the shield that was put up, I believe we are in the process of finalizing the terms, but I don't know. Before the this wall was in place, we were in the process of negotiating terms, and then after I want to say the last court date is when the decision was made that our office should no longer have any involvement. And so at least in terms of our office is still being involved, the agreement had not been signed at that point.
But it certainly wasn't the court that brought Mr. Vaccaro in.
No, it wasn't.
The court directed you to do so because the court found a conflict of interest.
That is correct.
And Ms. Walker, that's the shield to which you're, to which you're referring, that Judge Carroll found that there was possible conflict.
That is correct, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Inspector Bailey, did you not want to make the statement?
I did. Thank you, Mr. Chair. I previously appeared in this session before this committee. Inspector Edward Bailey, particularly in this instance on behalf of Sheriff David Clark, and I want to try to be somewhat comprehensive but also brief. Time does matter. And I want to start by saying to the chair how much I appreciate his willingness to hear from me on this issue. This is certainly a judgment call, and the fact that the judgment of the chair is in my favor and my opportunity to testify before the committee, I appreciate that consideration. The sheriff may be here today. If he had the ability to, he does not. He's in our nation's capital. He's attending events that he has attended in each year of his administration for 9 years, the National Sheriff's Association and the Major County Sheriff's Association winter conferences, a group that I will interestingly note in the National Sheriff's that he has served on the legal advisory board for at least the last 6 years. So his appearance here today is simply impossible. And as a result, you have me as adjutant officer. This case is wrapped up in issues that will certainly not be settled in this committee today. Issues of separation of powers and what that means. Issues of process, how things get done. The relationship between the sheriff and this board. And I think more to the point today, the relationship between the sheriff and corporation counsel, which I will characterize as essentially irretrievably broken as we move forward based on the actions that have taken place in this matter. And then ultimately the powers of the sheriff. And I'm not an attorney, and people on this board are attorneys. So I'm not going to try to talk too much about the law. I'm not an elected official. Sheriff is an elected official, and people on this committee are elected officials, and I'm going to try my best not to talk about people's intents or motives or to talk about elected officials. To the greatest extent possible, my comments today are going to be limited to the sheriff and to corporation counsel. But as I think has already been noted, what you're being asked, in my opinion, to do is to try to unring a bell or rewind a clock or pick any other analogy you wish. But you now, the county board, are being asked to authorize or become party to a lawsuit against the sheriff of Milwaukee County. And we're already fairly well down that road because we've already had court hearings and we've already had filings of complaints. And I think that shouldn't have happened. That's my reading of the law. I think it was done without appropriate authority. Perhaps that'll be for you to decide, because that's what I think you're being asked to do, become party to this and somehow authorize it. So I would ask you to consider that. At that hearing, the issue of whether or not the sheriff's interests were at all being legally, appropriately represented were raised, I believe, by counsel that the sheriff brought in with no authorization, with no payment, because he didn't have an attorney at that hearing. He had offered Office of Corporation Counsel seeking to try to convince the court that they were able to represent him as a constitutional officer and other members of county government in an issue in which they were seeking to sue him. And I appreciate the fact that I think fairly quickly the court saw that there was a conflict. I'll just characterize it as that. That maybe the sheriff didn't have meaningful representation at that hearing. So the goal would be, and I've already heard testimony before my appearance here, for this board to try to understand that decision-making process, where the ethics and where the propriety of the decision to sue Sheriff Clark came from, and why that decision was made without board authorization, and that issue of the law about whether or not that action required board authorization was, I think, brought to the court's attention by the sheriff's attorney that day. And for corp counsel to explain why they believe it's ethically appropriate to continue not only suit against the sheriff, but to perhaps, is it their intention to continue to represent him? Are they prepared to appoint outside counsel? Are they prepared to say that outside counsel will represent Sheriff Clark's interests not only in this matter, but in future matters? And I would ask the board to consider how they would feel having an attorney representing them who is also suing them in the same matter, because I think that's where we are today. Clearly, it's my belief, and I think you'll find, that what is necessary for the county to sue the sheriff as board authorization. As I said, I think the relationship between, in this matter, I suppose I'll limit my comments to this matter, the relationship between court counsel and Sheriff Clark is irretrievably broken in fact. It's legally broken. It's ethically broken. Sheriff's been sued by his attorney. Attorney was then disqualified by the court from continuing to represent him in that suit. In the filing, he's been accused of a crime. I had the opportunity to then watch a television interview by his attorney, which suggested that deputy sheriffs deputed by Sheriff Clark, trained by this county at great expense, certified by the Law Enforcement Standards Board of this state, would be committing acts of kidnapping if they were executing their duties, their sworn duties. And that strikes me as questionable behavior. Certainly, we're not going to decide this today. But if we move forward with this suit, the sheriff is going to expect counsel, real counsel, independent counsel. And at that time, issues of his authority, which may be ripe for discussion, issues of the extent that this board's actions bind him fiscally, which may be ripe for discussion, may have to be vetted by the court. And I would close by saying this. In the original complaint, Corp Counsel cited a lot of law. And one law they didn't cite was State Statute Chapter 59. It doesn't appear. And I understand why, because that's the statute that talks about the powers of the sheriff. And I can't interpret law and I can't interpret court decisions, but I know how to read a statute. And I would suggest that there's language in there, as disturbing as it may be, it suggests that the sheriff can depute those that he needs to depute to achieve his immemorial responsibilities. I suppose all those words are subject to some level of determination. You know, we've delivered a lot of budgets back to this county over Sheriff Clark's 9 years. We've been pretty good stewards of the money. Now, this budget came in, big cuts, but I don't want to, you know, we're going to try and talk about that. But we have to execute it. And I would challenge anybody to tell me how many deputy sheriffs are laid off by this budget. The best we seem to get is some agreement from some parties that there's a number that it's not less than. Because I've heard a lot of numbers over the last couple months. Now, we've twice tried to lay off captains on this agency because there is no issue in the budget about how many captains get laid off by this budget. And we can talk about the process we're using, but we've got TROs on 4 different occasions. We have a willingness to execute this budget. But we're talking about public safety. The sheriff does things in an orderly fashion. And when we have agreement about the total number of deputy sheriffs laid off, I can characterize that the sheriff is willing to lay off deputy sheriffs under this budget in a way that doesn't sacrifice public safety, is planned and controlled. But that number is not known. The best you have is it's got to be at least this many and probably a lot more. And we're going to have some definitive judgment of how many deputy sheriffs get laid off under this contract in fairly short order. I'm not sure we need to rush into court and sue the sheriff over it. That, of course, is for the board to decide. And I do, Mr. Chair, I obviously would take questions if I have them, but I appreciate your allowing me a lot of latitude in my comments.
Thank you, Inspector. Any questions? I have Supervisor Weishaupt. Supervisor Weishaupt?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I just have a comment for the inspector that you don't curry any favor, at least not with me, by coming in here and insulting Corp Counsel. The challenging their ethics on this, I find that just diminishes you in your role representing the sheriff. The fact is, if we have disagreements on who has authority, you do it in a professional manner. that I find that there are many large law firms that represent both sides of an issue, and there isn't a conflict on that. And I think to think that we somehow don't have the same caliber of professional people within our court counsel's office, that they would not be able to hold the same concept of any other major law firm and be able to represent both sides equally and fairly, I think is an unjust accusation against them. And if Sheriff Clark thought it was so important, he could have canceled his little vacation to Washington, D.C. or whatever, this conference kind of stuff. I just think that, like I said, you're not doing the sheriff any favors or this county any favors by coming in here and just throwing some mud around. And I would hope, Mr. Chairman, that now is the appropriate time to go into closed session, because I think this is not in the best interest of Milwaukee County to pursue this in open session anymore.
What's the, thank you, Supervisor Washington. What's the...
Mr. Chairman, did you want to discuss 12 and 13 in open session before we can then go into closed for 3, or do you want to go closed for 11 and come back out for 12?
Well, it's noon, and...
Well, Mr. Chair, I would ask the opportunity to respond to that. Certainly your judgment whether I would.
Inspector, excuse me for a moment. Mr. Grady, since it is noon, I'm wondering whether the pleasure of the committee is to continue in open session, go to 12:13. What is the pleasure of the committee with respect to the process?
Well, 12 and 13 were previously indicated for closed session, and I would just ask Corp Counsel at this time if 12 and 13 are appropriately discussed in closed session.
12 and 13 are certainly appropriately discussed in closed session. I was just responding to what I thought were requests to give as much in open as possible. So there are things I could tell you in open session, but there are things that need to be discussed in closed as well. It's entirely up to you.
And is it your opinion we've gotten to the point on number 11 that proceeding from here forward we should discuss that in closed session?
Yes.
I would then echo Supervisor Weishan's that we go into closed session for the remainder of 11, and based on the opinion of Corp Counsel 12 and 13 appropriately discussed in closed session. I would ask Mr. Chair not to have any further question and answer between Inspector Bailey and the board. I think this is getting very sensitive. I don't think the sheriff gets to have it both ways. If he goes out in the arena and becomes political, and then in here we hear about professional duties, one need only look to his recent press releases when this board was discussing alternatives to incarceration to understand that the sheriff does play politics at times. We don't need to get into those discussions, so I think it is appropriate to stop at this point.
And, Supervisor, I would say that since pleadings already been submitted, and there are court cases, that the best thing to do would be to just go into closed session. So, Inspector, I'd rather listen to what the supervisors have suggested and just leave it at that for right now.
Certainly, your authority to do so, Mr. Chair.
Supervisor Rice.
Well, you rule from the chair. I mean, I think it's unfortunate that we allow charges and statements to be made and not provide the individual from the sheriff's office to respond. I mean, this whole thing is commenced and is involving a really unfortunate situation regarding the interrelationship of the departments and the corporation council. And I think it's in our interest to have a dialogue here today and not to be shutting somebody off, but.
I don't want
make shots at somebody and not have an opportunity to respond. I think that's unfortunate.
Yeah. Supervisor, I don't want, but I don't want the back and forth. I will allow Inspector Bailey to give a short response. Hopefully, it's a civil response, and then we're going to look toward going into closed session or recessing to another time, whatever the pleasure of the committee.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Mr.
Chair. Remarkably short and as civil as I can muster.
Yes, sir.
My intent is not to curry favor with this board. My intent is to advise the members of this committee of the sheriff's viewpoint on these issues as they go into session. And I would obviously take exception as but a humble county employee, because I am not the sheriff. This board's authority over me is essentially absolute. But I would take exception to characterizing the sheriff's appearance in our nation's capital as a vacation. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Inspector.
Mr. Grady? I just want to say that our office does continue to represent the sheriff in numerous pieces of litigation and matters. We do not see this relationship as irretrievably broken. We intend to continue to represent the sheriff in all the matters that we have and will be representing more in the future. I think our issue with the sheriff is limited to this case and this case only, and we fully intend to represent the sheriff. Now, he.
Supervisor Mayo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The reason why I stepped up, and I understand that he's working, speaking on behalf of the sheriff. My concern is when he came out and said there's irreparable. We have so many, and Mr. Grady just stated, that's what I was going to state. How many lawsuits do we have that the sheriff have put Milwaukee County in harm's way? And our corp counsel, I represent him. How many times that we have employees come up and say this wrong, that they come back, our sheriff have done that. We have a relationship, but right now this is politics. Because with this young man, I know he's doing his job. It came out about the budget. We're not working with the budget. He's not working with us. Tell us what you want to do. I know he's a constitutional officer, and we respect him for that. But once we give you a bill, once we give you your budget, work within your budget and work with us. And that's not happening. And I understand what the county exec is not working with this board, because right now, when we have this coming out, what our corp counsel is going to do, we have that since I've been here 18 years. This is not the first time that the county exec have a corp counsel go out and do something with the board without knowing. But once the corp counsel informed me that the chair knew a little bit about it, it might be informal, the chair should have informed the county board what's going on. I have concern about a lot of different things here. But let's make sure you understand this is politics, and you're using employees as pawns. Let's work together, find out what's going on. Thank you, Mr. Chair, for letting me speak, and I hope we can move this ahead.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo. Ms. Young?
I put in a card to speak on item number 12, and I would request that I be given that opportunity before you go into closed session, if that is acceptable to the chair and the committee.
Okay. We have a temporary layover. We have a temporary layover, item 11. And let us proceed to item